Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Buchanan Report this 25th day of June, 2019. My name is Ivan Buchanan, and I am your host. My co-host is always Ron Hanks and Rhonda Moon Lane. If you're joining us for the first time, our call-in number is 347-857-1710. Again, that number, 347-857-1710. And if you call in, please try to watch your language. We try to keep it as thin as we can here. Our guest tonight, whistleblower Kevin Caldwell, regarding update on his case. He was on our show, that's been about a year ago now. I'm interested to hear the updates here on his case. But before we get to our guests, I want to remind everybody of our website, thebuchananreport.com, thebuchananreport.com. Just tons of links, tons of information. Go there, check it out. And also our Facebook group page, VA Corruption. What is it? Help me here. I'm drawing
VA a Corruption by the Buchanan Report.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, okay.
That's it.
So, yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah, it's been a couple busy weeks. So, sorry about that.
Yes, it has.
All right. Let's just jump right into it here. Ronnie, you got anything?
Yeah. First, I wanted to send our thoughts and prayers to those that were affected
Gary?
By that terrible accident. No, and it wasn't Gary.
Yeah.
In New Hampshire, at the Jarhead MC. Yeah, seven of them from the Jarhead MC.
I didn't hear about
killed.
That.
You did not. Well, I will share it with you.
No.
I've got it open right now. Illegal alien driving a truck, had a couple DUIs previously. He had a trailer behind the truck, and he crossed the line and took out the whole, well, seven of them died. A lot more were injured. It's horrible. It was in New Hampshire, I believe.
Wow.
Yep, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Made national news. I'm surprised you didn't see that.
Yeah, me too. It's all over everything.
I wasn't kidding, folks. The last 2 weeks, I've been busy. Okay, so it's, in court, as you know, last Tuesday, no, I'm not in trouble. I know a lot of you are wishing I was, but no, wasn't me. The other guy's in trouble. But in any event, no, it's, as Ron and Rhonda know, I've been busy. So my apologies. I've gotten calls here, and I've been able to answer some of them and talk for 30 seconds, 60 seconds, that's it. So my apologies go out. Hopefully here the next day or two, things will quiet down. Looks like it is. So that's it. Sorry for the interruption there. No, horrible, horrible.
It is. I'll share it with you. Seven of them died. I know there was another 10 injured. They're in the hospital. He has been arrested. He stayed on scene, I guess, and he has been arrested, but he got out on bail, I guess. So we'll hear what happens here. My next one's actually good news. I'm going to share this one because we talked about so many unclaimed veterans' remains. Well, there's a Valley High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, made wooden urns to hold the remains of unclaimed veterans and donated them.
Wow. Cool.
That's a great thing. Yeah. It was a wood and metal shop class at Valley High School in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I just want to say thank you to them. I'm going to give my opinion on them. I'm just going to read that. I hate people that give me their opinions. I'm smart enough to form my own.
Okay. I got to talk to Gary about that.
Is this leading up to a blonde joke or what?
No, it's not all blonde. No, it's really not. Again, another article. two-faced VA whistleblower retaliation, still a national embarrassment. How long have we been talking about that?
Long time. Over a year.
It started in 2014. Was the first whistleblowers coming out on wait list.
Uh-huh.
So it's been going on that long. That's 5 years. And it's gotten no better.
Well,
I just wanted to share that.
I thought that's what Brandon Coleman and the OAWP was supposed to be about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we all thought. Well, we all hoped.
Yeah.
Did you ever think it would? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a call today regarding Brandon Coleman, and I guess there's some new news coming out about Brandon Coleman and OAWP regarding, well, I'm just going to say I wish I could have reported it first, but the party that's doing it, which I know, and I'm not going to mention because I'm not going to give any heads up on it because I don't know if they want it out there or not, but there's
right.
a story getting ready to break nationally. Having to do with Brandon Coleman, OAWP, and Office of Whistleblower Protection, et cetera. So, yeah, I'm waiting for it to jump out there. I wish we could have got on it. It was me getting caught up in court, Jay D'Onofrio, when his case was coming on last
mm-hmm.
week, and we had to push that to next week. So, and I've been waiting for this one, but, again, my apologies out to the D'Onofrios and everyone else waiting for it. That is going to be a great interview as well as tonight, catching up on Kevin Caldwell's issues. So, sorry for the interruption there. Let's jump in. I'll give
That's
it back
okay.
to you, Rhonda.
That's okay. The first class action lawsuit aimed at VA is moving forward.
Yes.
The Veterans Court of Appeals
yes.
gave him permission. So it's Gozy versus Wilkie. And it is aimed at shortening the appeals process, because as we know, that appeals process can take years.
Right.
We've talked to people that's been in appeal 15 years, so I think shortening it is definitely, hopefully, going to happen.
I think you and me talked to one that's been in it like, back when we talked to him, it was like 15 years. It's got to be 17 or 18
yeah.
now for that one individual.
Uh-huh. And there's
I don't
a
know
whole
how they
lot
endure
of them.
It.
Well, they don't. Sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't really have a choice. There's no way to make
yeah.
the VA hurry up.
The VA, I guess, just hoping they get frustrated and leave, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Delay, deny. Until they die. That's not the whole phrase. I don't remember the whole phrase.
The message
That's
is
all
going
I had.
All right.
Ron, what do you got?
Tinker Air Force Base outside Oklahoma. You ever been there, Rhonda?
Yes.
I hear Tinker every now and then.
Did you... No, wrong Tinker.
But that's Rhonda's dog, by the way, for people listening.
Yes.
Did you live in the base housing?
No, I was never stationed there. I visited there.
Oh. Okay. Well, they have just discovered, picked this up off a thing, news, the landlord that's in charge of base housing, doing all the maintenance and rebuild and whatnot that way, has
mm-hmm.
supposedly been upgrading the homes. Well, between 2014 and 2017, they found out been falsifying the records in terms of asbestos removal.
Oh, no.
All those families have been living in that.
Oh. It doesn't surprise me.
Was that party under, was it a subcontractor? Was it an employee of the government? Was the party?
No, he was
ordered
to contract. Contract employee. His whole job was to take care of the base housing. Seeing that, you know, the upgrades were made and
right.
all of that, bringing it all up to spec. And the people that he had working, he had them falsify reports when it didn't get done within the time frame allotted, just to make it all look good, and had people living in this mess. So who knows how many people the service members or their families have been exposed.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
And then the next question I have is, that's criminal. Has it been arrested yet?
Yep. It hasn't said whether or not they're filing criminal charges or not. It just, the report just told about what was had been happening, and they'd finally discovered it.
Right.
So. And that can take 50 years to find out if you're going to suffer any effects from it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those kids that were exposed, they'll have kids
babies.
Of their own before anything ever happens. So,
I don't know what's wrong with people.
Anyway, William Shatner from Star Trek, his wife, Elizabeth, is a horse person, and she started the All Glory Project, which is an equine therapy program for veterans. They raise money for the awareness and housing of the horses and the veterans, whatnot that way. And it's really interesting because she had a horse named All Glory. It was a standard bred horse that was terrified of people. And it took him or her a long time for the horse to trust her. And I guess once this all clicked, she put him in the ring, and he was a 12-time world champion.
Oh, wow.
But this brought her to start this program for veterans. So that's what we've covered, maybe. Three different groups that use horses for therapy.
They're using it in a lot of places now. The children's hospitals have horses that come visit. A lot of the PTSD treatment programs have horses. It's getting a lot more popular.
So the
I know
horse
there's
was
one
afraid of people.
Yeah, terrified.
My wife has that same effect on some people.
Yeah, well, I've smiled with little kids and had them cry. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, boy, my grandson doesn't listen to me very often.
There's a new wave of Mexican oxy out there. It looks
great.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, the VA cutting people back on their medications.
Yeah.
They go looking for it, and I mean, they label it to where it looks like it's real. But it's...
And what is it?
It came... Oxycodone.
The fentanyl.
Oxycodone.
Yeah.
It's got enough fentanyl in one pill for three people. People are dying from it.
Well, wasn't there an article here just very shortly, today, yesterday, or whatever? I guess, I don't know if the VA was doing the research, but they've apparently found some alternate drug for opioids.
Well, maybe
kind of heard that, but I haven't seen enough to really know what they're talking about yet.
There was
an
article.
It's only been tested. Yeah. It's only been tested on rats so far.
On rats, and they're talking about it with the VA?
Yep.
Okay.
VA announces new breakthrough opioid replacement. Yep, I've got it right in front of me. But it's only been tested.
So you mean
tested on rats?
So on rats. So is the correlation there? They're testing it on upper management of the VA, i.e., rats. Is that the correlation here?
And I'm that sure would it be a good idea.
Maybe.
But no, veterans. It probably means they're testing it on the veterans at the hospital.
Yeah.
They need to take it up the food chain a little bit if they're going to do that.
Yep. Go ahead.
On a local level, we've had a senator here in the valley that has come in talking about helping veterans. Supposedly he's putting out there about how he's co-authored a full package of bills to assist veterans in accessing services and housing, improved medical oversight and whatnot, providing work training and all of this. We'll see what comes of it.
Yeah.
We do have the Moving Wall was through here the first of the month. Right after that, our Western Region 1 Source Center had its official opening. It's been several years in the making to where you can go in there, and they have offices in there from a number of different departments to help you find housing, jobs, whatnot that way to help you out. And they plan on having another 19 or so people in place here recently. There's a chance that something could be happening down there in Grand Junction.
I'll tell you, for people that,
yeah,
that don't know much about Colorado, you take and draw a line right down the middle of Colorado, and the vast majority of the people, I think like Denver has 2 million, and then the second largest city is Colorado Springs. I forget what theirs is. But you draw a line down the middle of Colorado, and you go to the left part, towards Utah, if you will. There's only about a quarter of a million to 300,000 people there. And I'm amazed at how many veterans there are over there on what we call the Western Slope. You know, just tons of veterans. I had no clue. So glad to hear that they're getting more active there.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. The line you're talking about runs along the Continental Divide, and there's been talk in the past, at least three or four times in the last 40 years, of splitting the state in two, becoming two different entities.
Yeah.
And everybody's all for it.
Tower, the tunnel there?
Yeah. Everybody's all for it until they realize all the ski slopes and all the money-making businesses are on our side. Of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, even Telluride.
Real quick. Yep.
Yeah.
Things change real quick. You see people backpedaling.
Yeah, and then the eastern slope, they're begging for more water, you know, from the western slope where the water is running, and that's the water that goes down into Arizona, California, and you know.
Seven states. It feeds seven states, and they want to take it to put it over there for more development. That's how stupid it's got.
That's chicken for
my last one.
He's running for president.
Yeah, he's going to try. I want to give him a glass of water myself.
These are inside jokes, folks. It's a good story if we ever had the time to tell you.
Back, you know how I am with some of these new, and existing VA hospitals, how they've treated things and how they run things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new one, Louisville, Kentucky. They're talking about building a new one. I don't know what it is about the VA that they feel that they are their own entity and are don't answer to anyone. They want to build
they
a
don't.
New one there. Yeah, they want to build a new one there. They went out and purchased the property to build the hospital. The town next door has filed a legal challenge simply because they did not bother to put in the proper paperwork that's going to cause undue traffic and whatnot for this community. You know, that none of that was taken into effect. The paperwork they did file, they lied on it to the upper echelon in the VA. How's that for thinking you're just better than, you know, your average white bread? So here we go again. Denver's got nothing on anybody.
Lion and VA? Okay.
Yeah. Goes in the same sentence. Blends quite well.
Yeah, it does.
That's all I have for tonight.
All right. Well, our guest tonight is whistleblower Kevin Caldwell. Kevin is a U.S. Navy veteran. He served in the Persian Gulf 1985 to 89. He was one tour Diego Garcia, then HM-14 minesweeping unit. He then went to work for the VA, Miami VA, for 10 years before retiring on disability, becoming a whistleblower. Kevin is a whistleblower and a VA patient and has suffered retaliation in his medical care after becoming a whistleblower. Kevin, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
I'm great. So let's start out a brief explanation of your medical diagnosis and the problems you had with your care while you worked at the VA.
Well, when I worked at the VA, I was part of what they called the PACT Initiative, which was started under Secretary Shazansky. They knew that they had, I think I'm saying his last name right, they knew that there was an access problem in the VA before it actually hit the fan. But we worked on a project called the PACT Initiative, and they took teams from each one of the VAs to create access for the VA. So every 3 months, I traveled with the VA as the clerk. They pulled a person from each VA. I think there was 249 of them that were given $14 million to basically figure out the spaghetti diagram and rework the wheel on how we could create access in the VA. My project took number one in the nation.
Let everybody know that the PACT program is the patient-aligned care team that most VAs have in place now.
Correct. And my team was the example for being the best protocol for what should happen when a veteran came in, didn't have an appointment, what they could do to open up access. But I worked with a group of people all over the country that were not veterans and were creating a healthcare system that they weren't using. I think the reason that my involvement with the PACT Initiative and the reason that my team took number one is because I was actually using the healthcare system that the VA people were creating.
Right.
But as you all know, I am involved still yet to this day. I filed a mental workers' comp claim because I feel like that the VA was retaliating against me, and it became a mental battle. So I still have an appeal with the Department of Labor. I also had a disagreement with the AFGE because there wasn't one whistleblower that went on TV that was represented by the AFGE. Before you could sue the AFGE, you had to file a lawsuit with or a complaint with the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor lawyers sit right next door to the AFGE attorneys. So obviously you can see I was shut down in the Department of Labor. I was shut down in workers' comp because these were all government agencies. And I want to, I've got three things that I want to talk about tonight, but your show is predicated on corruption in the VA. We're all military people, and we all know a war cannot go on forever. the deep state that was trying to take Donald Trump out appeared to be going on in the VA. Until anybody starts going forward with an investigation to investigate the whistleblowers, Ivan, you had talked about what was his name? What was the guy that was hired for the corruption department? You know who I'm talking about?
Brandon Coleman.
I was sending Brandon Coleman emails, and right off the bat, I knew something was wrong with the man. I never heard from him. So I think that this is what the problem is. And unless we get the President of the United States to say he's going to dig deeper, but I'm afraid that Donald Trump made a deal with Dave Shulkin. I'm afraid that he made a deal with Dave Shulkin. You help me get in the White House because I'll be able to get you confirmed with no problem. You stay in there as a puppet and let me let these other people run the VA from West Palm Beach, and I will give you immunity. If that has happened, the veterans and the corruption people need to know about it, and we need to know that the fight is over. Because we can't keep getting on radio shows, we can't keep getting on Facebook and talking about how bad the VA is until we actually find out what's going on. They turned me over to Homeland Security when I invited Dr. Shulkin to come to the Miami VA. They then, in turn, turned the Broward County Sheriff's Department on me. They turned in the Miami-Dade Police Department on me because that's where the VA hospital sat, and they turned the DEA on to me. They were not giving me morphine. They were not treating me for pain, but they were trying to entrap me. Remember when they had the drug bust in West Palm Beach where they were getting veteran employees that worked at the VA to sell drugs to undercover cops? The VA has been involved with corruption for a long time, but if we can't get Donald Trump to say that we're going to investigate the investigators with the VA, then we all got to go home and quit talking and complaining about the corruption because, like you said, Rhonda, earlier, this started 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We know as military people, you can't keep fighting a losing battle. So if somebody does not start getting together as a group of veterans, I wanted veterans to walk out of VA hospitals and stop going to them. We don't have no power unless we stand together. So my big thing to that is, you know, Rhonda, I just sent you some paperwork tonight. Everyone knows that I also have an EEO case that the VA actually cheated me on. When you have an investigation on an EEO, you have the right to keep it in the agency, or after the investigation's done, you can put it in the courts. Because I live in the Miami-Broward area where we have people from all over the world here, the EEO courts are backed up. So the VA had it in their favor. If you don't want to wait forever and ever to get your EEO handled, then go through the agency. But the agency was crooked. So on the last EEO that I filed, the agency actually did the investigation, never gave me a copy of the report, and said that I wanted a final decision by the agency. I had to fight the regional office to get them to rescind that EEO. I want to make sure that I make it clear tonight that I am not talking about my whistleblower case in any way. I am a veteran before I'm a whistleblower. In my first investigation under Office of Special Counsel, the Office of Special Counsel denied my claim as a whistleblower. I appealed it. I appealed it through a video camera. I talked pretty down to the OIG and the OSC, and they rescinded my appeal, and I was told that they reconsidered my decision. And then they called me, and they said, we want to talk about a settlement. Now, a lot of people out there will say, oh, they do that with any EO or with any complaint or with any whistleblower problem. But the OSC attorney told me about a disability retirement. Even though he and I were at odds with a lot of things, he gave me an out. I want everyone to know I do not work for the VA anymore, but I obviously did not lose. He suggested that the VA would give me $30,000. I, because of my medical conditions, would go to the VA, and I would resign with a failure to perform, and they would give me $30,000. That was sent in an email, and I sent it back, and I said, I make $40,000 a year. I haven't worked for a year and a half. Why would I take 30? In the midst of all of this, my father had died from Alzheimer's, and my mother was sick for 18 years. I went back in an email and told them that I would accept $50,000 and the disability retirement. They told me that they would push the disability retirement through. we all know that as a government employee, I was entitled to that disability retirement, whether I would have been a whistleblower or not. So a lot of people say to me and that look at my case, say, Kevin, that was something that was put on the table, but it was never an offer. Okay, well, I got the disability retirement. And after I got the disability retirement, I decided I'm done fighting the VA. I'm going to travel. I started traveling out west, Rhonda. As you know, I wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. I got about 1,300 miles into the drive, and I started having severe burning pain in my right thigh. I immediately tried to get appointments with VA out there, and they said, you know, all of your work is here. So I drove 1,300 miles back, and I called the VA, and I said, I need an MRI. I have a problem for 31 years with my back. It started when I was in the military. I'm not service-connected for it. When I called the Miami VA for an MRI, now this is now, folks. We're talking about the access problem. Community care is out there. They offered me an MRI in 7 to 8 weeks. I said, no, I'm in so much pain, I got to have an MRI now. So then I started calling the chief of staff's office, and as you know, Rhonda, and they automatically said, well, here's that loudmouth. We better get him in. So they got me in for the first part of the MRI on a Sunday at 10 o'clock. I sat and waited for 3 hours as a triple overbook. The Miami VA is in Miami, and the Broward VA had an MRI machine that they had put in a trailer out back, but they could never pass the inspections. So now, rather than community care out veterans for MRIs, they're overbooking them. When I went to the MRI on the first time, he said, we can't do both of them. I came out of that MRI machine after five other people had been in it before me. It was like being in a tanning bed. It was so damn hot because they're so overloaded. So then they said to me, we can't do the whole MRI because the MRI machine is so backed up today. We can do your other part. Well, when can you do the other part? I'm in excruciating pain. I've had to get back on pain medicine. I was off of pain medicine. Well, we can do it next Tuesday. Tuesday, I have an appointment at 1:30. Can you come in at 8 p.m.? I said, wait a minute. I am in excruciating pain. I can't even sit in a chair. I'm going to come in for a dental appointment at 1:30 and wait till 8? Well, believe it or not, folks, I did it. The beginning part of my MRI report reads, there are no significant changes. When the doctor that I complained to 2 years ago about seeing a neurologist told me that he couldn't get me an appointment with a neurologist, he read the report. He only read the beginning part of it that said no significant changes. So the VA thought, screw this guy. We'll put him on the back burner. He's not got nothing going on. So then I started watching TV, and I saw Tiger Woods, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to find some specialist that's this good because I've got federal government, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield. So I called Dr. Greenberg, which was the ex-director of the Broward VA, and he left because of a lot of problems with the VA. But I called him because we're personal friends. We worked on the PAC team together. And I said, Dr. Greenberg, where would you go? He suggested the Cancer Institute. I went to the Cancer Institute with my MRIs. They saw me walk in, and they said, you're not leaving. Have a seat. We're going to have someone look at your MRI right now. The guy came back out, and he said, did they read your whole report? I said, what do you mean? He said that you have a cyst the size of a dime. It says it at the bottom of the report. He said, we need to see you. When can you come back tomorrow? Now, everybody wants to talk about VA care and how we can't privatize, but you realize that I took my federal government, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, I went to a world-renowned specialist. Walked in the door.
Kevin, yeah. I've Ivan here. I want to remind you, you say you got three issues you want to cover. Don't use all your time here just on one issue here.
Okay. Well, anyway, I took the report from those world-renowned specialists, and I took it to the VA. They agreed that their neurologist would see me. Even though I had complained 5 weeks ago, they said they could get an appointment. On the 30th day, I waited for 2.5 hours past my appointment. It was an overbook. I walked in the door, and the neurologist said, we're not going to tell you what you want to hear. I stood up and I said, that's no way to talk to a veteran. I don't want to hear anything. If you disagreed with their opinion, you could have called them and talked to them about it. It was on a Friday. I said, I'm scheduled to have the surgery on Tuesday. We're going to see who's right and who's wrong. I had the surgery. Within 6 weeks, I had no pain, off pain medicine. I went back to them because my deductible is $7,000. I had to have some work done on my cervical. I pleaded with the surgeon, please let me get it done so I can heal at the same time. I have now had both surgeries, and I'm off of morphine for the first time in 7 years. So
good.
I went to the VA, and I was $3,000 into my $7,000 deductible. I said, they are world-renowned specialists. They denounced that you have the ability to do the surgery that I need. Will you pay for my community care? Rhonda, I've CC'd you on several emails. I'm sure you're almost tired of getting emails. But
no,
I contacted the White House. I contacted the VBST. I contacted the patient advocate. I contacted Senator Rubio's office. And I've been directly emailing the Secretary of the VA. I have had no response. Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing in the mail, no email, no nothing. I will let you know that today, as of today, there was a letter sent to my attorney about all the interrogatories that need to be answered on my EEO. So just to let you know that the mind game is still going on with the VA and the battle, because I've heard nothing about me as a veteran personally, and my battle that I've been fighting with the EEO that's been backed up for 2 years in the courts, there's finally an email today. So that gets us to the point to where I'm at, Ivan. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is I'm very blessed that I have Blue Cross and Blue Shield. If I was a veteran and I got off the pain medicine, because we've convinced the world that morphine, and a lot of the morphine problem that we're talking about in the epidemic is fentanyl. It's not actually the morphine that we use for as opiates, but a lot of the epidemic is fentanyl. But I was convinced that I was a drug user because I had been on morphine for 7 years. I am now morphine free. However, when I got off the morphine, I was unable to perform anything. I was sitting around in pain all the time. So you can see we have veterans killing themselves all the time. If they go to the VA and the VA says, no, we don't agree with an outside surgeon, and they don't have $7,000, do you take the choice to be a drug addict? Do you take the choice to take your life, or do you try to find some other help? I want the VA to start saying that if you're on morphine and there's a choice, you know, this new law that was just passed, the right to choose with cancer medicine. Why do veterans not have the same thing? If you use your private insurance and you go to a doctor on the outside, and I know a lot of us have, you go to a doctor that you don't get along with, you get up, you say thank you, you walk out the door and you find another one. You can't do that in the VA. The VA will never be fixed. The VA will never be fixed until they give a veteran the opportunity to say, hey, I don't like the way you talk to me. I don't like what your theory is on medication. I don't like what your ideal is here. I want another choice. And if you're going to the chief of neurology and they say, okay, you can have another choice, you can see another neurologist. Okay, what am I going to see, a guy under the boss?
Right.
So the point that I wanted to make tonight is that the problem with the VA that we're all talking about for 5 years, Ivan, we have somehow got to get an investigation done on the investigators. If we don't, the time is running out. These people like Brandon Coleman, Dr. Shulkin, what is Dr. Shulkin doing now for a living? Does anybody know? Does everybody know what Jeff Miller's doing for a living right now? Because all these guys that came in to fix the VA that had problems, I guarantee you if you found out what they're doing right now, you'd be surprised. They're either lobbyists. I think Shulkin's working with the team that does the technology. I mean, they all got a ticket off of our back. And we're just sitting by and complaining, and it gives everybody a stump. But if veterans don't demand that the OIG and the OSC and the Office of Accountability be investigated, then we're going nowhere with this fight. It's going nowhere. We're just wasting our time. Then the second thing is we have a congresswoman out there that says the VA isn't broken. Well, I just told you it took me 7 weeks to get an MRI. I told you I asked for community care. Even though community care is out there, guess who still handles the purse strings for the VA, for community
the
care?
VA.
Someone in that VA has to say, yes, we're going to let him go to the outside. It has to be an outside entity. You can't have the people that control the purse controlling whether we can see a doctor on the outside. My other point is I'm a veteran. I'm a whistleblower. I've complained to everybody, Rhonda. Why, when I called the director's office last week in an email, I sent the email to you. I'm going on the Buchanan report. I always want to give you the opportunity to speak up and have your side. Would you like to say anything? the guy that works for the new director at the VA or the intern director or the director they got sitting there says to me, Mr. Caldwell, we're aware of you, and we've answered all of the inquiries that have come to the office. I said, if you've answered all of them, how come I've not got a copy of it?
Right.
And my point, Ivan, is that a lot of times a veteran has a choice. Do I kill myself because nobody cares, or does somebody care? So out of all the people that I've been contacting, if I didn't have a family and a support system, if I didn't have insurance on the outside, if I didn't have the ability to get off of morphine and say I'm drinking every night because I'm depressed, what choices do I have? And if we don't get this out there and we don't start telling the VA, okay, if you're answering this guy, then answer him. He's the veteran. Nobody has replied to any of those emails, right, Rhonda? Because everybody's CC'd on them. Everybody
yeah.
that's included. The only person that responds is my sister, which is trying to build a women's monument in Pensacola, Florida. So you see where the veteran might feel like he has all alone and has nowhere to turn to? Just imagine if you're
yeah.
not aggressive like I am, and you're not the loudmouth that used to be the whistleblower. When I called the VA and they told me I could get an MRI in 7 to 8 weeks, I would have just took that as the answer. And that's what's happening to our men out there. That's what's happening to our women. They go in and they ask for an appointment. So when this woman says that the VA is not broken, she needs to come to my world. Because the VA is the same thing it was 5 years ago when I sent the secretary, which was McDonald, an email saying that I have one veteran after another threatening to commit suicide because they can't get an appointment. I'm ready to quit. Will you do something about it? And then under Secretary Shulkin answered an email and said, of course, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Send us everything we got. They set up a dummy office. They had a lady named Cherie Parker. I sent everything I had, and once the lawyers went through it and said he doesn't have enough to sue us on, they dropped me like a hot potato. And then they started targeting me. And they didn't do it to just one person or two person. You guys have had one person after another on your show. What has been done about it? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And my thing is that tonight there's a law out there that says that a person has the right, if they're on their last limb and they're dying, they have the right to choose a medication. We have an example of a woman that chose a medication for cancer that was not approved by the FDA. She is no longer in a wheelchair, and they're about touting about it all over the news. That's what the VA needs. Veterans need to have the right. If you're at your wit's end with the VA and they can't help you, we don't need the Miami VA to say, yes, Kevin, you can go to the outside. Because I'll tell you what, people, if you want to see what I walked like before I had surgery and you want to see what I walk like now, I got a camera of it. And for $7,000 for somebody to take their life, and actually I was $3,000 into my deductible. The 2 years ago when I had a sinuplasty, they chopped it not to put me under the under anesthesiologist because they had almost lost 3 patients at the Miami VA. Is it not worth $3,000 for the VA just to send me to the outside? This guy's got insurance. Let's pay.
Right.
I don't understand that there's choices when it comes to how you take the access problem off of the VA. First of all, everybody that's out there that works for the VA that's a veteran, they're offered health care through their company. If your wife or your spouse is offered health care through their company, pay their insurance premium every month, $147 for insurance for somebody, and then their deductible is $2,000 or $3,000. It's a lot smarter than going to Kentucky and buying a piece of property that you can't even build on. So I say that we're going toward privatization, and I say that if the VA doesn't get themselves together, they're going to be the taxi cab driver on the other side of the street watching the Uber and Lyft drivers take care of VA patients.
Good analogy.
It's gone on for too long, but, you know, you've got Ben Krause on your Facebook. I don't know if Ben's listening tonight. He's called in before. But we have to start in the movement forward to say, okay, President, we saw what they did to you or what they possibly did to you. Could you please see if the same deep state that was in office when the VA scandal first broke out, these whistleblowers that are saying they were targeted by local police. I was arrested by the VA police, Ivan. I was put Baker acted. I refused to be bankrupted in the hospital that I work with. They sent me across the street to Jackson Memorial. I was released within 12 hours. An average Baker Act takes 72 hours. They released me on my own recognizance. And you know what they told me to do? Mr. Caldwell, there's nothing wrong with you, but you seem to be in a dispute with your employer. Go get an attorney. We're releasing you on your own recognizance. I sat overnight in the hospital. The VA refused to transfer me to the hospital unless I would let them do a drug test. I let them do a drug test because they were trying to entrap me with drugs on the outside, right? The drug test came back negative. Why did they want to do a drug test on me? I had never had a problem before. And when I went to them and asked them to do a drug test on me, you know what they told me? We've already done one. I looked at my primary care doctor of 15 years and I said, you drug tested me without my permission? Why? I wasn't in a life-threatening situation. So then I got a letter from the regional office saying that they violated my HIPAA rights, but basically because they were in bed with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You all know that when we go to the VA and I have Blue Cross and Blue Shield, anything that I'm not service-connected for, they get paid the same amount as a provider on the outside does. Because I'm 70%, they don't get my deductible. But the MRI, the CT scans, everything that I go to the doctor for, the Miami VA is collecting on. So in a way, I'm kind of a gold mine to them. And if they don't want my services, you know what they used to do, Rhonda? They used to go to the homeless areas, to the park. And they would get bologna sandwiches together, and they'd have a bus sitting right there. And they'd say, hey, are you a veteran? Have you seen a doctor in a while? You want a sandwich? Get on the bus. They would take them. They would get a vesting appointment, depending on how many diseases the guy had. If he was legally blind, if he was HIV positive, if he had multiple diseases, they could get anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. Once they got the vested appointment, they took the guy back to the park, and they never saw him again. And then they ran their budget. Remember when the woman was being asked to resign that was Miami VA director that was under the colonoscopy scare where people got HIV?
Yeah.
When she got on TV in front of Congress, Jeff Miller said, you had no money to take care of these veterans, but you're having $345,000 worth of work done to your executive suite. You have no money to have a golf cart take veterans from a loaded parking lot to their appointment so they won't miss a 30-minute appointment. But you have no money for a golf cart, but you have $345,000 to redo the executive suite. So this has been going on for a long time with mismanagement of money. And everybody acts like the community care thing is the answer. It's not the answer, people. If the same people that are cooking the books that got me real time, right, is if you call for an MRI and they say they can't give you one within 30 days, you automatically should be said, Mr. Caldwell, I have a credit card right now that has the United States government's name on it. Where would you like to go to get your MRI? Because if we want to talk about cooking the books that we talked about 5 years ago when I became a whistleblower, remember when they weren't taking people's number, then they weren't giving people an appointment, and they were saying call back in 3 weeks?
Yes.
They had no idea what the access problem was because they weren't keeping track of it. Now they're keeping track of it. And you know what they do? Only the loudmouths like me do they get in, and they double overbook you. You know what it's like to go to a clerk or go to an MRI tech that's been working his ass off all day long or her ass off all day long and has to see 20 more patients than they're supposed to because they're loudmouths? That's where this separation. Yeah. There was a lady last week, Rhonda, that said to me she wasn't.
You got just a couple more minutes
okay.
left here. Just wanted
anyway,
to give you the heads up because we're running out of time.
We can't blame frontline people for the access problem still yet. If they're being forced to see patients only because they have a big mouth, that obviously makes the veteran a hostile environment. I appreciate your time. I know I've said a lot tonight. But I really hope that everybody gets on the bandwagon. Let's investigate the investigators, because if we don't, we are running out of time, and we might as well stop complaining.
Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin. I'm going to put you in the blue room here while we wrap up the show here. I've got him in the blue room there. You know, what I like about Kevin, I remember him from the last time. I mean, you know, he just, man, you wind him up and he just goes, but just tons and tons of information. And finally, he said the one thing that I actually wanted to hear for me. I've been called a big mouth, too. And so now I don't feel so bad if you're a big mouth and you're getting some things done, which I've done a little bit in my career. But he's right. I mean, you got to do something. But we've been talking about this for a long time. You know, you look on Facebook, you look at all the different groups, and, you know, like Fort McClellan, I don't know how many groups there are, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just got tons of groups, and it seems like everyone thinks that, I guess, that it's good enough just to piss, bitch, and moan, but, you know, he's right. You got to, you know, you got to start, people got to mobilize, start putting money behind that and start doing things. I'm sad to say it takes money to do certain things, but you can't feel good about just talking or airing your views or the bad things that are going on. You got to get out there, you know, and do something. Rhonda, you do all kinds of things for various organizations, mine, others, you know.
And
you got to be a doer some way, somehow.
Yeah, you have to open your mouth. If you sit there and just let any doctor give you pills you don't know what they're for and just take them, it's not going to turn out well. You need to be proactive.
You know, and that's another thing, too, that if anybody got something here's – you know, according to Kevin, you know, he was on drugs, et cetera. He was fortunate. He had some money, $7,000, I think is what he said that it took. And, you know, he's no longer on the pills because the medical procedures work. You know, he was fortunate. How many out there are not that fortunate? And my question is did it really need to take that $7,000? I mean, you know, for God's sake, you know, veterans have a contract with the government. You know, how many people out there aren't being dealt with properly that could be off the drugs and be in a lot better shape and better for themselves and their family? I don't know. You can just carry that thought and just keep going with it. I'm glad to hear somebody, you know, got well.
And like Kevin said, when he goes to the VA for treatment for anything, a cold or whatever, VA charges his Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance for part of that bill. But if he uses his insurance and goes to an outside doctor, they don't help with those bills. It's totally one-sided.
Right, but let's look at the other thing, too, you know. I really wonder how, because he was a whistleblower and he's not afraid to speak, he's obviously very intelligent, very articulate, you know. And we just found out he knows how to talk without taking a breath. I said that because I know he's still listening. I got to jab at him a little bit. He's a machine gun full of information. I love it. But, you know, here's the other part, you know, because he wouldn't allow anyone to silence him, you know, what part of that, you know, is a part of the treatment that he obtained and is still, you know, getting, even with the problems he's having with his EEOC claim, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think he'd have got as far as he did if he wasn't so boisterous about it.
So. Oh, I know he wouldn't have. If you will take just let the VA, if you let them just take their time, they will. You got to stick up for yourself or find somebody that can.
Yeah. Again, I think everyone needs to. The one message that I think he has very clear that I hope people get, it's not good enough just to bellyache. you know, on radio, TV, Facebook, whatever media it is you're going to, you got to get in the fight beyond just doing that kind of stuff. You really do. Some people have money. If you got money, then you need to use it. If you don't have money, then there's plenty of other ways to help and get into the fight. And a lot of people don't understand that, but that is the truth.
Yeah. So. Kevin is still listening, and he is messaging me. He wants to have one more thing stated, that veterans deserve the best medication. The treatment for liver hepatitis C was actually tested on veterans, but it's too expensive for veterans to get. Another one is Trulicity. They give metformin for prediabetes. You can't get Trulicity.
All right, Kevin, I know you're listening. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and the way you talk, you ought to be able to spit out half a novel. So here you go. You're live, Kevin. Go.
Okay, you're back.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. And you're right, Rhonda. Whenever it comes to any medication, if you go to your doctor and you say, hey, I hear people are having heart attacks from metformin, you said I'm pre-diabetic, can I get Trulicity? When they say, no, it's not in the formulary, I don't give a damn. I'm a veteran. I want the best that's on the market. And like Ivan just said a while ago, who was ever out there listening, I want a meeting with President Trump. I keep praying for it every day. But I want the VA to investigate the investigators, and let's put this to rest, and let's start moving forward with veterans, and let's start answering veterans and stop letting veterans kill themselves, because that's the most important thing. Like this drone last week, a drone isn't worth a life, and $7,000 to me isn't worth a life either with a deductible.
Thanks.
So if a guy can go to the outside and the VA.
You're in the blue room now, Kevin. I'm sorry. I had didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to get you in there. All right. We're about out of time here. Final comments, Rhonda, and then over to you, Ron. Great show. Great information. Love it.
Yes. Yes. And I never get tired of emails, Kevin. You can keep emailing me. I've got a file just for you, and it's not the round.
How come you
file.
Don't answer mine? Wait a minute.
You didn't email me. I check my email every day.
I stopped a year ago. You never answer. Oh, geez. And I still haven't heard Gary either.
That's because he's at the bar. He don't stay here when I'm on my show. I make him stay in the bedroom, and he refuses.
For those of you that don't know, take a look at Rhonda's Facebook. She's got a bruise on her arm. She says she ran into a door. You know, that's like getting a hickey from a doorknob, right? No, Gary whacked him, and we ain't hearing from Gary because she probably buried him in the backyard, you know. So it is a desert out there. You know?
Actually, it used to be when you got a hickey, you'd say you burnt yourself with the curling iron. Well, I did that 3 weeks ago in Bisbee, and they don't look anything the same.
Too much information, Rhonda. Too much. You know, I don't want to see you on Skype. I'm going to be looking over your shoulder, looking for things hanging from the ceilings here. You know. So, all right, Ron, over to you.
Okay, well. Thank you, Kevin, for showing up. Like Ivan said, you always have a ton of information.
Yes.
I do have a quotable quote tonight. If I want to knock a story off the front page, I just change my hairstyle. Who said that?
Joey Bishop.
Hillary Clinton.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, takes a village.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's it for us. This is the Buchanan Report Radio
night,
Show. 6/25/2019. We'll see you all next week. Looking forward. Jay D'Onofrio coming on. Just finished his case. going to be a great show. Brandon Coleman and OAWP will be part of this show as far as in discussion. I doubt if he'll call in. Sure would like for him to. Been waiting for him. But,
it would be nice.
Yeah. All right. That's it for us. Y'all have a good night and have a good weekend. Good night.
Good night.